Ukraine ministry, 10 years and counting, it really doesn't seem like that's possible, does it? Wow. God has given us so many opportunities in Ukraine. That ministry has really changed the 10 years that we've been there. For the first 4 to 5 years, we were focused in Kharkiv, where Christmas Church is, where our host families live. We were ministering there in the city, around different places in the city where Vitaly was trying to start ministry, but it's typical of large cities in the United States. The people were interested in what you had, but they really wasn't interested in what you had to say. And we found out after a while that God could probably use us and our talents and our gifts in greater ways once we get outside the city walls. And so we, as we began to pray, God placed on Pastor Vitaly's heart a ministry in Krasnograd. He knew Pastor Vladimir there, and so they began to talk about the possibility of doing ministry, bringing medical teams and vision teams there to go out into the remote villages and share the gospel with folks. And so through the vision that God gave them, through our praying and seeking God's will, then we decided that that was the direction God was leading us. And the Lord has certainly blessed that ministry in those villages. The people are entirely different. They feel like they've been forgotten by the world. The government cares nothing about them. The people in the cities care nothing about them. They're just out there forgotten. And when we went out and just became Jesus to those folks, began sharing with them and sharing the glasses and the medicine, but more importantly, sharing the gospel of Christ, it was amazing. The doors God began to open up and the lives that were being changed. So tonight we just want to share with you, those pictures were a compilation over the last 10 years of ministry. I chose some from, try to get some from each year, but I think one of my slides got replaced, or one of the CDs got displaced somewhere, got lost. But anyway, that was kind of an overview of our ministry there. Tonight, we're going to have four different ones who are part of this mission team this year come and share with you. There were seven of us total, counting me, but two of them weren't able to be here tonight. But just going to share with you what the Lord did this year. Remember that the Russian army is still in southern Ukraine. Even though you don't hear about it on the news anymore, they're still there. Nadia said that they still have wounded troops that are being brought to Kharkiv. They're in the hospital. They're having the opportunity to minister to those. So it's opened up a lot of doors of opportunity of ministry for Christmas Church and the members there. And just because you don't hear anything about it doesn't mean that it's not still going on. In the southern Ukraine, or just north of Crimea, there are cities that have been destroyed that may not ever be rebuilt again. Families that live there have fled to northern Ukraine, many to the Kharkiv area. And again, that's opened up opportunities there. So, but one thing we have seen is that an openness to the gospel has just been amazing since that war began. And you can imagine waking up and not knowing if the Russian troops are going to be in your backyard or at your back door. And so it's a fearful time for them. And I'm just thankful that we didn't let fear keep us from going, because that first year it was very tempting. You know, I'd never taken a mission team into a country that was at war before, but God made it very clear that that was His will for us. I'm thankful that God convinced these missionaries that it was His will for us to go, and that He was going to honor our effort. So we're so thankful that we didn't let fear overwhelm us and keep us from going. But tonight our first missionary is Teresa Dudley, and because this is the 10th year, I want to give kind of an introduction, description of them and their ministry. This was Teresa's 8th year of involvement in the Ukraine ministry. I love to hear her testimony about her first trip to Ukraine. Teresa says that God challenged her to get out of her comfort zone. And she said that was one of the most difficult things she'd ever done. But God convinced her that He wanted to use her in the ministry in Ukraine. And so she stepped out of her comfort zone decided to trust the Lord to provide for her financial resources, her strength, her courage, everything that she would need in order to be a part of this mission. I love to hear her and KD tell about how God has provided the funds through the years. And, Teresa always prays about whether she needs to be a member of the upcoming team. And Of course, talking with KD and knowing the financial end of that, and they just committed to the Lord. And there's been times, I've heard them both tell, that there's been times when God has provided to the penny what was required for her to be a part of that mission team. So it's just amazing to see how God has worked there. Since 2011, Teresa has been involved in the Vision Clinic portion of our international missions outreach. I appreciate her passion for ministry. And one year, the year that she, I think after we returned, she actually had knee replacement surgery. But I remember that year was very difficult on Teresa. She was in pain continually. And I remember we had a connecting flight in, whether it was Amsterdam or Paris, I'm not sure where we were, but we almost missed our flight, and she had to almost sprint through the airport to get to the plane and was in tears by the time we got on that plane to come back home. But she has a passion for serving the Lord, a passion for being used of God, and I love her partnership in the Vision Clinic. And we just got where we click right along, and it's amazing how many folks we can see in a day's time checking eyes and giving free glasses. So I'm going to ask Teresa to come now and share what God has placed on her heart.
This year, God abundantly blessed us again with many, many opportunities to minister to the people of Ukraine. We were again able to serve many. From our best estimation, we saw over, I think Pastor Vladimir said, 410 in a period of four days. We were able to provide eye clinic, medical clinic, and we used these clinics in order to draw people out. They're curious when the Americans come in. They want to know what we're about, why we're there, what we have, and it is a way for us to provide for them physically, but provide them spiritually as well. Over the last several years, we've had the opportunity to go into new areas in and around the Krasnograd region. And I think we've told you before, when we talk about going out into the villages, it's like going to Armurchie and then going out to Texas Valley, or going to Everett Springs, or coming to Silver Creek, but then going out to Wax. That's kind of an analogy that you can picture. They were ready for us when we got there. We had about 8 villages that were designated for us to go to. Out of those, 6 were brand new places that we'd never been. We were also told that clinic number 5 was a new place, a new area, and we could definitely expect opposition. We were told to expect trouble, to expect the authorities, the community leaders and everything, because they would not want us there. But so we knew that going in, and that's when you're not even in ministry yet and you're already told you're going to have opposition, you just kind of have to take a deep breath and go, because you really don't know what to expect. But I had a verse, there was a verse that I kind of clung to over the week, and there were several reasons that verse. It is Isaiah 43:19. Says, look, I am about to do something new. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The song, God Will Make a Way, I heard that song. I'd not heard it in years, but I heard it 3 or 4 times in a period of about 3 to 4 weeks before we left. So I looked at the words of the song, looked at the scripture, and just decided that I would claim God would make a way for us that week, wherever we went, whatever we did. And these are some ways that that God made a way. We went right through customs easily. No checks, no questions, no searches. We even got a head nod and a wave and even a smile or two going through. And that is very unusual. We had perfect weather that week. Mild temperatures ranging in low 50s to the mid 70s. No rain, just perfect weather. And when you're working outside from about 7:30 until in the morning until 6 or 7 at night. Perfect weather is a blessing from God, and he definitely made a way for us that week. The clinic number 5, I think it was on a Wednesday, maybe. That's where we were told we would have opposition. We actually had no opposition. We had no incidents. We had no one show up. We had no one ask anything. And we were able that day to serve, to share, and to witness with absolutely no problem. And the gospel was shared to all who came. There are people there that have no hope. We had one woman that told us that week. She sat down and she began to share with us through our interpreter that she was sick. She was hoping we could help her with some glasses, that she wasn't well. And her words through the interpreter was, "I'm losing my mind." She was suffering from dementia, probably early onset Alzheimer's, and some other medical ailments. There was not anything we could do for her. We were not able to provide her or her husband with any glasses. But for lack of anything else to do, Billy and I were able to pray and literally lay hands on her and pray that God would make a way for her. She was told when she went for help at the hospital and the doctor's office that she needed to leave, that she was not sick enough, and there was nothing. There were other people that needed more help than she did, and she was given no help. No medical assistance, no anything. We had another woman that tells us she lives off of $40 a month. We were able to provide her with some glasses, but Billy and I were able to pray for her that God would make a way for her to just survive. In these new villages and communities, there are small Bible studies that are popping up. You usually will have maybe 1-2 believers in the area. But that's about it. But we're using this as a tool. Pastor Vladimir and them are going out and following up and encouraging these people. And we are seeing small core groups, home groups pop up in all these different areas. Something as simple as a little cotton bag. There are about 8 to 10 women here at Pleasant Valley South that meet on Thursday mornings. And we do different ministry items, but some of the things, and I wish I had one to show you, but those things go like hotcakes, and we don't have any left because they go very quickly. But we're able to provide these women with these cotton bags that are just, we make them, we try to make one in about 30 to 45 minutes, and I think this year we were able to carry about 175 bags. And during the year we're thinking, oh, these are monotonous. I'm getting tired of making these bags. What, but we keep doing it. But an example of how God makes a way for a simple bag that most of us would just throw in a closet somewhere and not use. These women use these to go to the garden. They use them to put their personal belongings in, to carry to and fro because they walk everywhere they go. We had one woman that worked, was an employee in the hotel where we were there. Her name was Marina, and she got one of the bags that we made. Marina took this bag home, told her husband about the bag, told her about the Americans, shared with him a little bit about what we talked about and everything. Her husband comes back the next night just to check us out, see what's going on. Vitaly was able to meet with him, and before it was over with, the man trusted Christ as his Savior that night because of a bag. So ladies, if you ever think that those of you that help make those bags, that they're not important, that let me tell you they are, because we know of at least one salvation because of a bag. I'm thankful to the Lord for allowing us to partner again and for me the opportunity to go. I can assure you that the Ukrainians are following up. They're out. They're hitting the villages and the, I won't say hit the streets because you can't, it's more like hit the dirt trails. but they're following up, and these people are being drawn in. We will never know how many of those that we served will come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and I'm praying that God will just make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert.
Thank you, Teresa. Our next missionary is Mike Sutherland. This was Mike's fifth trip to Ukraine, and I've had the privilege of knowing Mike for many years. He and I played ball together years ago, or played against one another years ago. But I've come to love and appreciate Mike as a dedicated servant of the Lord who always has this attitude, I'll do whatever I can. When Mike, anytime he's asked to do anything, well, I'll do whatever I can. And he usually says, I can't do a whole lot. Of course, that's not true, because he can do a lot. But I think Mike kind of felt had doubts about whether there was anything that he could do in Ukraine. But we had been talking and praying about the need to have someone else join our vision team to give eye exams, because when we're doing the clinics, now we usually have two doctors. You'll see a picture of the Ukrainian doctor in a few minutes, but we have a Ukrainian doctor and Dr. Kevin, so they move through the medical clinic pretty fast, but in the vision clinics, they get backed up. Sometimes it'll take us 4 or 5 minutes to find a pair of glasses after we give the exam, and then find a pair of glasses that fits their needs. And so we knew that we needed to train someone else. So Teresa and Lisa and I got Mike off in a corner and showed him how to examine eyes, and he had a little doubts about it, but once we got there and he got on the field, within, I think he watched me do two exams, or watched us do two, and I said, Mike, you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. So he jumped out there. Lisa partnered with him, and before you know it, he was seeing as many as we were. So it was a blessing to see Mike take that initiative, and he picked up on it real quick. And you know, I love Mike as a brother, and I am so thankful that he this year, chose to be one of our Ukrainian missionaries again, because Mike can, like I said, he'll do whatever you ask him to, but he's a very gifted man. But Mike has a heart for the lost, and he does not hesitate to share the gospel with those that come through the clinics. And so I'm just so thankful that Mike is continuing to be a part. Of course, Mike goes to Alaska. He does a lot of mission work around here locally. But he was an integral part of our Ukrainian ministry this year. So, Mike, if you will, come and share with the folks.
We've already mentioned it was our 10th year to be involved in the mission work there at Ukraine, and I was on the first team that went. And as Billy mentioned, it's really changed a lot. We're reaching out and getting out into the outer parts and getting out of town and getting to the people and working and witnessing and sharing the gospel with them. And it's really being productive, folks. It's being productive. And that's what it's all about, is seeing people saved, see people come to know Jesus, to witness and tell people about the grace of God and His love for us. And I'm proud to be a part of that. Believe me, I am. But this, like I said, this is my fifth trip to Ukraine, and I went on the first trip, and I finally got a job this year. I've been trying this 5 years, and I finally got a job. Billy gave me a job. And Billy was right. I was a little reluctant about this thing because I knew we'd get busy and things would pick up, and you know, if God wants you to do something, He'll give you the grace and the wisdom, the knowledge to do it. And that's exactly what happened. So I just kind of fell in there, and it just come natural to me for some reason. And again, I think that's mostly due to the Holy Spirit more than anything. But it worked out well, and I want to tell you something. I had more fun this year. Me and Lisa and all of us, we just had a big time. We made a fun trip out of it. It was work. It was hard. It was strenuous sometimes. I mean, a couple afternoons there, we were slammed with people, just one right after another. But I really want to thank everybody that was a prayer partner. I really do. because as Teresa's already elaborated on, you know, we had no problems. We had no resistance. We had our buses, everything went just fine. And a lot of that is because that you folks here involved with us and partnered with us and prayed with us that helped us to do the ministry work that we needed to do while we were there. And you know, that means a lot, because we could have very, as Teresa already said, we could have very well had to leave a village and go somewhere else. And a lot of other things could have happened, but it didn't. And I think a large part of that is because of y'all's prayers and y'all's work with us and your care and your thoughts for us. And I kind of thought of Paul. I told Billy this one day there. We were sitting in the lobby. You know, Paul got to go back to the churches after he had established churches and things and set up different churches. And he'd go back on another missionary trip and he'd visit some of the places he'd already been. And he'd see the production. He'd see how the Holy Spirit was moving and see how the Holy Spirit was working in people's lives and how these churches was growing and how people were coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord. And you know, I thought about that. Boy, what a privilege this is to be part of the first team, to just start out. And then we went to Krasnograd, I think, what was it, the third year I went? We went over there. We went over to Krasnograd and started working there. And now this church at Krasnograd, the church from Christmas Church, has reached out to Krasnograd. Now Krasnograd is reaching out to the villages and areas there. And we're establishing Acts 8:1 churches, folks. God is alive and well and working in Ukraine. And we need to stay there. We need to stay involved there. And we need to keep working there and witnessing there. The church is growing. People are being reached. As I said earlier from the start, that's our purpose. That's the reason we go. It's not, we use the eye clinic and medical clinic to draw the people, as Teresa said. But the main reason and the main purpose is to see Jesus Christ glorified, Him lifted up and Him exalted, and to see people come to know and to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we're there. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Our next Ukrainian missionary this year that I want to introduce to you is Lisa Yuri. Lisa has been involved in our Ukraine ministries since the very beginning. She went on the first trip, and I think she's made all but one. There was one year that she wasn't able to go, so she's been on 9 of our 10 mission trips to Ukraine. You know, Lisa, if you know Lisa at all, you know, she just overflows with the fruit of the Spirit of joy and kindness and goodness. It's such a blessing to the people that she meets, because Lisa always has a smile on her face, and the children are attracted to her. Just, it's amazing how the kids just come to her. Every village, they see that contagious smile. They see in that smile that she has a loving heart, and it just draws people to her. Her genuineness, her transparency as a Christian draws those children to her like a magnet. She's just wide open, and people see how genuine she is and what she does and how much she loves the Lord and how much she loves the opportunities that God has given her in Ukraine. Like Teresa, Lisa came on board the Vision Clinic team in 2011, and she's remained a faithful partner to this ministry through the years. She's also a very gifted photographer. I'm thankful every time Lisa goes on a trip, you know, we're going to have quality pictures, because, and there's going to be a picture of a flower in there every once in a while, especially one where she zoomed right into the, you know, to the center of the flower. She is she's a great photographer, and we benefit from those a lot. But that photography has gotten her in trouble a couple of times, gotten her in hot water. For one time, I know for sure, we were in one of the villages, And Lisa, I think she saw some cows over in the other yard or something that she wanted to take a picture of. So she just kind of wandered over there. And before she knew it, there was a babushka, which is an old Ukrainian woman, had her cane, and she was chasing Lisa out of her yard. She had trespassed, and that was not acceptable. And I know the time that I've taken her to Peru, she always wants to ride one of the burros there. I said, Lisa, what if you get thrown off? You get, you know, you bust your head open, break an arm or something. We got 11,000 feet. We got to get you down this mountain. So I haven't let her ride a burro yet. But I think she's probably going to jump on one of those cows in Ukraine before it's over. But she's just a joy to be around. I am so thankful that Lisa has such a commitment to this ministry. And just, you know, she in the eye clinic, she gets right in there and gets involved with the people. And it's just a great blessing for them and for us as well. So, Lisa, I'm thankful for you and want you to come and share.
Well, I'm truly humbled by those words. I thought it was going to be a roasting or something. what I'm going to talk about tonight is the orphanage that was built in Krasnograd. Well, about 90,000 children live in Ukraine orphanages. Most of them are like social orphans. These were children that were abused and abandoned by their parents and were placed in the care of others at these orphanages. And because of the ongoing conflict between Ukrainian forces and pro-Russian rebels, this has complicated matters, and it's forcing the government to cut back on the funding for the orphanages. I was going to tell you just a little bit about the orphanages, the general conditions. First of all, the funding's not there for repairs. So a lot of these places, a lot of the orphanages, you know, are in, they need painting, they need this and that. There's not proper heat, hot water, and electricity. It's often sporadic. It's sporadic when we're there, too. And it's not available during the winter months. So, you know, there's a lot of colds and that kind of stuff. And the ratio of caregivers to children is very low. They lack hygiene supplies. The children are often only allowed to bathe once a week. And I know Warren, he likes that. And they have limited nutritional resources, so they don't get very many red meat, poultry, and that kind of stuff. Also, their medical and dental care, they don't have a lot of that. Also, the plumbing's outdated a lot of times. So we have nicknamed these restrooms squatty potties because they're just a hole in the floor. So a missionary, people from Germany, has built a $500,000 orphanage. And the property was given by the Krasnograd Church. However, there's no children there. Not any. The government, this may be the reason, the government did not have any say in the construction of the building or where the building was going to be built. So there's a lot of red tape, and so there's no children at the orphanage. Well, the orphanage that's built, we got to go on a tour while we were there, and it is the most... There's toilets, and it's got a modern kitchen, and there's like four beds to a room, and then they have a playroom, and this facility is just, it's modern, it's beautiful, and there's no children in it. So I'm going to ask you tonight to please pray for the Ukrainian government to allow children to be put in this orphanage. And that the Krasnograd Church can be a part of, supporting the orphanage and that the government will allow it. I read this quote. This is a quote from David Platt. "We care for orphans not because we are rescuers, but because we are rescued." And I have learned that I will not change the world. Jesus will do that. I have, however, changed the world for one person. So I keep loving one person at a time because this is my calling as a follower of Jesus. Thank you.
Add one more detail about that orphanage. There is a host family, a husband and a wife, that are members of Krasnograd Church that are going to be, they're going to be over the orphanage there. So everything's in place, but the government has just decided that they hadn't jumped through enough hoops and signed enough documents for them to open that up. So we would appreciate you praying that that will become a reality soon. We know that Krasnograd Church is going to reach out to those children. They will be in Bible study. They'll be learning about Christ. So it's a great opportunity there. Well, last but certainly not least of our Ukrainian mission partners sharing tonight is William Fricks. When the Lord brought William and Emlyn to Pleasant Valley South, William almost immediately began inquiring about our mission outreach here and how involved we were. I think William had been to Moldova, I think, on a trip before and had gotten a taste of missions in the former Soviet Union and really wanted to be involved. So after they came, William almost immediately got involved with our Ukrainian mission. For the last 7 years, William has headed up our medicine distribution to the people who come through our medical clinics. He heads up our pharmacy. His love for all people, his desire to meet their needs through the pharmacy have truly been a blessing to the people of Ukraine. I'm sure he never thought he would be dispensing meds in locations such as chicken pens and porches of former Soviet Union government buildings, but, we do what we have to do. William and I always have fun passing through customs and passport control. You know, I'm really not Billy Fricks. I'm William Fricks, so that's another William Fricks. And so, you know, the customs officials get kind of confused, and they ask all kind of questions. I'm always happy when I'm after William because I always say that's my dad that just passed through. But they get a little confused. They've changed a couple of things a couple of times. We've had to get that straightened out. But I'm so thankful. He's not my dad, but he is my brother in Christ. He has a passion for this ministry and really all missions. And so I am so thankful that God is continuing to use William to be our pharmacist. One of the greatest stories I have about William is in Peru when he had the opportunity to lead the man to the Lord that had the disease that his nose was gone, had been eaten off by a flesh-eating disease, and William had the opportunity to lead him to the Lord through the pharmacy. So, but that's William's heart, and he's always looking for opportunities to share the gospel. So William, come and share, if you would, please.
I'm thankful for a church that has a passion and a heart for missions. The Bible tells us that we are to go. I found a scripture a few years ago as we were going into the village. It's from Mark 1, verse 36. And it's from the words of our Savior. Jesus said, "I must go into the villages." To me, that spoke volumes, because we had the opportunity to reach out, as Billy has told you, how we ventured out into the village. I want to thank my prayer partners, because without your prayers, we would have had opposition. But God answers those prayers. We go into areas where we don't know exactly who's there. Sometimes the officials there are jealous, so they are afraid to let foreigners come in and use any of their facilities. We've been asked to leave facilities before, a building that was just there. So our prayer partners are so important. There's a verse from the prophet Amos that speaks about a famine Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. God forbid that we fail to take the word so that people can come to know the Lord. What we do in the Ukraine is something that God has given us the direction. He's given us the resources. He's given us the people that are willing to go. Each time we go, we experience God's love and God's grace because the people are hungry. They want to hear, not like the prophet Amos is saying, that the people are going about looking, but they can't find it. The people over there are hungry. And we've seen the results. We've seen the little church at Roma grow. And now they're reaching out. They're starting Bible groups, and they're inviting people in. These are people who have been shunned. But yet, through the love of Christ and through His Word, they are reaching out. This is just evidence of carrying the Word, that God will use whoever is willing to go. When we give out the medicine to the different people there, they are so thankful and grateful because, as Billy said, their government does very little for them. But we'll give them vitamins or antacids or maybe some blood pressure or something. And they'll say, well, can I have some for my husband or my wife or something for my, can I have some more? Well, sure. It's a joy to be able to just meet a basic need like that. And we've been fortunate. We've had a lot of our medications have been donated to us by other people who are wanting to help. They can't go, but they want to help. Tonight, I want to just do a little recruiting. You know, there's always a need, as Mike has demonstrated there. There's always something that if you're willing to go, you can do. Now, I know every one of you can count to 10 or 20 if you got your shoes on. You can go and count pills. I can teach you how to do that. That's not hard. And we have a lot of fun in preparation because we pre-pack and get things ready, and that saves a lot of time. And it's fun watching all these people here learning to be pharmacy techs, you know. But if you're willing to go, God will provide the resources. God will provide you with a job that you can do. And, you know, I don't know how many more trips I'll be able to make because, you know, you get a certain age, you know, you're not sure whether next year you're going to be able to go. But I'm thankful that God has allowed me to go the number of times that I have. I thank this church for reaching out. So pray about it. Think about it. God can use you. If you're willing, He'll use you. Thank you.
Thank you, William. Our ongoing joke this year was that next year, or in the next few years anyway, KD will pull up to the assisted living and honk the horn, and the mission team will come out, because we're getting old. If it wasn't for Dr. Kevin, as young as he is, our average age would be on up there. So I asked the college core group to come tonight. I said, listen, guys, y'all got to get committed to going to Ukraine now. We're getting too old. But, you know, it's amazing to see how God used us. There are struggles. When you get our age, you know, if you're not sleeping in your own bed, you don't sleep very well and all that kind of stuff. But God just takes care of us. It's taken us a little longer to get over it once we get back. But those 7 hours, seven time zones getting more difficult to overcome, but God is always faithful. Two members of our mission team are not able to be here tonight. This first picture, of course, is of Andy Sordeson. This was Andy's second trip to Ukraine, possibly his last, since, as most of you know, he and Rena have relocated to Kentucky now to be closer to their families. Andy served as William's assistant in the pharmacy this year, and he's a very knowledgeable person. He's also extremely gifted in many areas. Even though he is a big Yank, he is going to be missed, and we're thankful because he was a very dedicated mission team participant. The second member of the team, of course, is Dr. Kevin, Dr. Kevin Hardwell. Kevin has been a part of all 10 of our Ukrainian mission teams since 2007. If you know Kevin, you know he's not only a gifted physician. Kevin is also a genuinely compassionate person who takes a personal interest in all of his patients, both here in the States and at Floyd Medical Center, where he serves as the emergency room director. And so he's a very caring and compassionate physician. He's also a hard worker. He doesn't mind getting his hands dirty, and he really don't care if you don't know that he's a doctor. Matter of fact, I think he'd rather you not know that he's a doctor, because he likes to just be a part of the team and not get any special recognition. He never expects that. He's always willing to see patients in less than sanitary conditions. I think one year he was set up in a duck pen. We had to clean the pen out before we could set up the medical clinic. He's been in an old barn that was so musty smelling you had to almost wear some type of protection to keep from getting some kind of disease. He's been under an apple tree out by the garden. So Kevin is just very flexible. He's always willing to do whatever, and we are so thankful that he has been such a dedicated member of our Ukraine mission outreach. I also want to briefly mention some of our Ukrainian ministry partners who make it possible for us to be involved in the mission work. This is Dr. Eugene. Dr. Eugene has been working with us now for about the last 5 years. Of course, he's a Ukrainian doctor. Kevin appreciates him because we also have some Ukrainian medicine, and Kevin can't even read the labels on them because it's in Russian, so he is so thankful for Dr. Eugene. And then if there's a Ukrainian patient who has some issues that Kevin is not familiar with, and Dr. Eugene is always there. So we're thankful for Dr. Eugene. Dr. Eugene is also running a medical clinic in the Krasnograd Church now that's being supported through the Ukraine partners. Randy East, Ukrainian Partners for Christ. Yeah. So, Dr. Eugene is very much involved in what we're doing. The next picture, of course, is Nadia. This is Vika's mom. Nadia does all the planning on that side. She has everything ready for us, all of our transportation. She's leading the music here in the church. So everywhere we go, of course, we have to have a church service, and Nadia is always the one that leads the music, but just very instrumental. There's no way that we would be able to go there and do what we do if it wasn't for Nadia. The next, of course, Pastor Vitaly. This is a great picture of Pastor Vitaly because he does love kids. He loves to minister to them, but I don't think Pastor Vitaly loves anything more than to gather a group and start sharing the gospel with them. He's got a Rubik's Cube that he shares, not Rubik's Cube, but a gospel cube. It's like the Rubik's Cube, and he shares the gospel through that. He loves to use that, but he's just when we gather for the medical clinics and the vision clinics, Vitaly will get a group off to the side, and he'll start sharing the gospel with them. And many people have come to know Christ as a result of that. The next one is Pastor Vladimir. Now, I had to take this picture at a distance. Pastor Vladimir does not like his picture taken. I don't know whether he's former KGB or what, but he don't like if you take his picture, but we got this one when he wasn't looking. But Pastor Vladimir is a passionate man of God. He does not back down from the authorities. I've seen him stand toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose with a police officer who was trying to shut us down, and just he is very bold. And just recently on this trip, someone who's in opposition to his church actually took rocks and busted all the windows out of their church, so they had to put bars on the windows and plexiglass so they couldn't bust those. But it doesn't faze Pastor Vladimir. He says, we'll go on. You know, God's going to take care of us. So we are so thankful for him and for how he organizes. He goes into all these villages, these communities, and he sets up the ministry for us. So it would be impossible without Pastor Vladimir. And then this next lady, of course, you've seen her before. This is Linda Gray. Linda is one of our IMB missionaries. Linda, when the war started, of course, IMB was trying to evacuate all their missionaries that wanted to leave. And Linda said, you know, what kind of testimony would it be if I were to flee now when the Russian troops were in the country and my people need me even more than ever? So we are so thankful for Linda. She comes and works with us in Krasnograd now, just a great servant of the Lord, and will do it. She's got an attitude like Mike. She'll come up to me and she'll say, okay, what do you need me to do? I'll go buy something. I'll do whatever we need to do. She has her car there, and so she's very helpful, and we're so thankful for Linda. You know, it's almost impossible to mention everyone who partnered with us in this mission, but there's a group picture here that's the sign, the Krasnograd sign, so we always try to get out there and take a picture. But these are the Americans and our Ukrainian partners that made up this team this year. So it's just been such a blessing. You know, over the past 10 years, we've seen over 5,000 people that have come through the medical clinics. Since 2011, over 2,600 that have come through the vision clinics. The biggest majority of them have received a free pair of glasses. And, of course, through the vision clinic and the medical clinic, they've received, even more importantly, the gospel, had the opportunity to respond. We think, you know, we never know. I think heaven will reveal it, but we don't know now how many people have come to know Christ as a result of our ministry. We know between 250 and 300, especially in these last 3 years since the war has started. After we get back, Nadia will call or she'll send me a text and say, you know, we've had this many people that made professions of faith that we followed up on. We've had this many that are interested. So we've been a part of starting one new church there. There are five ongoing Bible studies there now that are a result of our ministry and our partnership with our Ukrainian brothers and sisters in Christ. So this year we saw those same kind of results. And, of course, I think the highlight of this year's mission was the opportunity we had to baptize the three new believers. These new believers came to know the Lord through our ministry. And so we had the opportunity to baptize them. That was just a great blessing for all of us. It was kind of unique, I think, where the lake was, it was a river, where we baptized. We went out of town. We turned down a partially dirt road, which turned into a dirt road, which turned into a trail, and finally ended up at the lake. And I think they did that intentionally so the authorities would stay off of them while we were baptizing, because that's a normal place that they go to baptize, I think. But that was just such a great blessing. Again, thank you, church, for supporting us. Your prayers are more important than you will ever know. And like every member of the team has said, you know, those that were their personal prayer partners, and then just knowing that there was a church here praying for us. There was no explanation for the fact, especially on that fifth day, that we did not get shut down by the authorities, except that God's Holy Spirit was at work. He was hearing your prayers, and he was answering your prayers. And we had the opportunity to share the gospel with a lot of people that day in that village. It was a brand new village. Now, there was a lady who came to start with, and she was the so-called mayor of the village, and she was going to shut us down. And Vitaly, I love to see Vitaly when he's interacting with those, and he talked to her a little bit, and Nadia was standing by me, and she was whispering in my ear what they were saying. And finally, she said, Vitaly just threw up his hands. He said, okay, we're going to load up all this stuff, and we're going to go to another village. And she said, oh, no, 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 you don't have to leave, because there was already about 20 or 30 people that had gathered around that were looking forward to coming to our clinic. So he knows how to deal with those people as well. But thank you. But we do need more people involved. I can take a team of 10 to 12 to Ukraine. Now with our transportation, Nadia, the way she has it set up, we can handle that many. Don't let the threat of war scare you. God has protected us, and we pray about it every year. It's not an automatic that we're going to go to Ukraine, but we began praying and asked for God's peace. and he always gives that. And, you know, to the Ukrainians, I know Vladimir, first time he looked at me and called me a hero, I said, come on, man, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, you come to a country at war to share the gospel. You're our heroes. I said, no, you're our heroes. You're here every day. You're facing this every day. You're walking by faith. You're trusting the Lord to provide for you, and he does. So we're just so thankful. We just look forward to continuing this until the Lord comes back. Do pray for the Ukrainian people. It's a struggle daily, especially the folks that are just living just north of Crimea. Their cities are destroyed. Their lives have been, they've been uprooted. They just don't know what tomorrow holds, and they are without hope. We know that their hope comes through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's why we're still there. That's why we're still sharing the gospel, and why we're so thankful for our Ukrainian partners that are daily out there sharing the gospel. We've got one other slide presentation that we want to present to you, and this will kind of summarize our week of ministry. The background music is and vocals is Vika's sister Katya, and I think you're going to appreciate this.